Following the booklets compiled by Al Madinatul Ilmiya, i.e., the Islamic Research Center Dawati Islami, concerning the lives of the parents of the renowned spiritual guide Amir Ahlus Sunnah, Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Al Qadiri Damat Barakat Mul Aliya, namely Attar's noble father and Attar's noble mother, we now present the booklet Amir Ahlus Sunnah's Elder Brother. In this booklet, you will be able to listen about the lives of Amir Ahlus Sunnah's family, i.e. brothers, sisters, etc. Amir Ahlus Sunnah's father was employed in Colombo, i.e. Sri Lanka, and passed away during his childhood. Two or three of Amir Ahlus Sunnah's sisters were also married in Colombo. Amir Ahlus Sunnah is the youngest amongst all his siblings. Due to being distant from his sisters in Colombo, he did not spend much time with them. He spent various periods of his life, i.e. childhood, adolescence and youth, in Karachi, Pakistan, with his late mother, elder brother and two other sisters. During Madani Muzakaras and other gatherings, Amir Ahlus Sunnah, Damat Barakat Mul Aliya, occasionally narrates various incidents about these aspects of his life, which have been gathered to prepare this booklet. Insha'Allah, this booklet will prove to be very informative for those who hold affection and reverence for Amir Ahlus Sunnah, Damat Barakat Mul Aliya. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala khatimin nabiyyin, amma ba'd, فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Amir Ahlus Sunnah's elder brother. Supplication of Amir Ahlus Sunnah's successor. O Allah Almighty, whosoever reads or listens to the booklet, Amir Ahlus Sunnah's elder brother, make them and their entire family pious and practicing and true devotees of the Prophet, and become pleased with them eternally. Ameen. Bi jahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Excellence of salat upon the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam stated, whoever recites salat upon me once, Allah Almighty sends 10 mercies upon him. Whoever recites salat upon me 10 times, Allah Almighty sends 100 mercies upon him. Whoever recites salat upon me 100 times, Allah Almighty inscribes between his two eyes that he is free from hypocrisy and the fire of hell, and he will keep him with the martyrs on the day of resurrection. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Hypothetical example. Once, a person was stuck in a marsh, unable to get out despite his efforts. Just then, a man with a gun passed by. Seeing the person stuck in the marsh, he said, "You are in great distress. It is better that I shoot you than for you to die suffocating like this." Saying this, he aimed at the person stuck in the marsh. The person then exerted all his strength and managed to get out of the marsh. Laughing, the man threw aside his pistol and said to him, "I didn't want to kill you. I aimed at you because you weren't making a proper effort to get out of the marsh. As your life was at stake, you exerted your full strength and succeeded in getting out of the marsh." Dear Islamic brothers, from this hypothetical incident, we learn that when a person wishes to achieve a goal, he should make an effort commensurate with that aim, whether it is a religious activity or a worldly matter. Without hard work and effort, you will not achieve a satisfactory result. Some Islamic brothers are seen making such supplications. "I want to become righteous but cannot," or "I want to avoid sins but cannot." Although making this supplication and wishing is excellent, as this desire is granted to few, one should consider that to become righteous and to avoid sins, one must live in an environment that promotes righteousness and helps in avoiding sins. Amir Ahlus Sunnah, Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, Damat Barkat Mul Aliya, states, "The one who puts his hand in fire and then says, 'My hand should not burn,' that will not happen. If someone falls into dirty gutter water and says that filth should not touch him, it is not possible. Therefore, to become righteous, it is necessary to remain in the company of pious devotees of the beloved Prophet who act upon the Sunnah. To avoid sins, one must abandon sinful environments and the company of friends who invite to sins. Only then will you succeed in your goal of becoming righteous. Otherwise, remember, desiring to obtain wheat after sowing barley is futile. May Allah Almighty make us truly righteous and embodiments of the Sunnah. Ameen. Bi jahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad." Amir Ahlus Sunnah's family. The incident of the person stuck in the marsh, which was just narrated with some changes in wording, was told to Amir Ahlus Sunnah Damat Barakat Mul Aliya by his elder brother Abdul Ghani. There was approximately a 10 to 15 year age difference between Amir Ahlus Sunnah Damat Barakat Mul Aliya and his elder brother. Amir Ahlus Sunnah Damat Barakat Mul Aliya is one of three brothers. His eldest brother's name is Abdul Ghani. He also had another elder brother named Abdul Aziz, who passed away as a baby at approximately 6 months of age, before Amir Ahlus Sunnah Damat Barakat Mul Aliya was born. Amir Ahlus Sunnah Damat Barakat Mul Aliya is the youngest amongst all his siblings, head of the household. After the demise of the respected father, the elder brother was the sole provider for the household. Their esteemed mother also did some labor at home, such as peeling peanuts and chickpeas and removing seeds from old tamarind. However, Abdul Ghani worked as a compounder at Kutiana Memon Association in Khoradar, and the income he earned from there, which was a monthly salary of 75 rupees, was used to run the household. Amir Ahlus Sunnah Damat Barakat Mul Aliya once stated, "My mother used to wake me up for Fajr prayer and send me with my brother, and I would go with my elder brother to Badami Masjid near our home for prayers." Oh, the love of the world! A person once owed some money to Amir Ahlus Sunnah's late brother, Abdul Ghani. When that person fell ill, he did not recover. As the saying goes, the disease worsened as the medicine was given. When it appeared that he would not survive, Abdul Ghani, accompanied by his younger brother, Amir Ahlus Sunnah, went to the hospital to visit him. Whether it was old age or the greed for wealth and property, when Amir Ahlus Sunnah's brother requested the money, the ailing person addressed the doctor and said, "Doctor, doctor, take all the money you want and treat me. But Abdul Ghani, I will not give you the money." Eventually, he passed away. Amir Ahlus Sunnah's household was facing financial hardship. His elder brother requested the money from the deceased sons, but received no specific response. So Amir Ahlus Sunnah, Damat Barakat Mul Aliya, consulted with his family at home and forgave the debt. May Allah Almighty forgive the sins of the deceased. The demand of self-respect. Dear Islamic brothers, sadly, the ailment of not returning debts at all or unnecessarily delaying their payment has become very widespread nowadays. When one needs to borrow, they visit 100 times. But when it is time to repay, instead of returning it themselves, they compel the lender to make 100 rounds and wear out their shoes. Some unfortunate individuals still make excuses, talk nonsense, and trouble the creditor in various ways. even from a worldly perspective, how bad it is that the lender helped you in your difficult time by loaning you money and removing your distress, and now, instead of going to his house to thank him and repay his money, you are compelling him to chase after you. May Allah Almighty grant such people sound intellect and the ability to make sincere repentance. Not repaying a debt or delaying it. Scholars have declared that procrastination in repaying a debt without a valid excuse recognized by Islamic law is an act of oppression. If delaying a debt without a valid Islamic excuse is tyranny, then how great a sin it would be to take a loan from someone and not repay it at all. Nowadays, millions, even billions of rupees of people are usurped in the name of loans. All of this may seem comfortable now, but it will be very costly on the day of resurrection. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam stated, "The procrastination of a person of means in repaying a debt is oppression." He also stated, "The procrastination of a person of means in repaying a debt makes his honor lawful," meaning it becomes permissible to speak ill of and criticize him. The noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam stated, "Every sin of a martyr will be forgiven except for debt." The impious, dishonest, oppressive person. The reviver of Islam, the Imam of Ahlus Sunnah, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi alayhi, was asked about a person named Zaid, who was negligent in repaying debt and made false excuses. His response has been presented here with some simplification. He rahmatullahi alayhi states, "Zaid is impious and immoral, a perpetrator of major sins, oppressive, dishonest, and deserving of punishment. What more titles does he desire for himself? If he dies in this state and people's debts remain upon him, his good deeds will be given to the creditors upon their demand. Listen to how they will be given. Approximately 700 congregational prayers will have to be given for 3 coins of debt. When this debt withholding person will have no good deeds left, the sins of the creditors will be placed upon his head, and he will be thrown into the fire. O you who withhold people's debts, listen carefully. If a debtor can repay a debt but delays it for even a moment without the creditor's consent, he will be a sinner and deemed an oppressor. This sin will continue to be recorded against him, whether he is fasting or sleeping. It is like his sin meter will run continuously. In every situation, the curse of Allah Almighty will fall upon him. This sin is such that it remains with him even in his sleep. If he can repay the debt by selling his belongings, he must do so. If he does not, he is a sinner. If he gives something in return for the debt that the creditor dislikes, the giver will still be a sinner, and he will not be absolved of the crime of this injustice until he pleases the creditor, because this act of his is amongst the major sins, but people consider it trivial." Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad. Elder brother's marriage. Amir Ahlus Sunnah's elder brother's blessed wedding ceremony was held with simplicity, and the nikah, i.e. marriage contract, likely took place in New Maimon Masjid, Bolton Market, Karachi. Amir Ahlus Sunnah's residence was in the Gogali house during those days, which had 2 rooms. The brother's family lived in 1 room, whilst their mother and sisters lived in the other room. Amir Ahlus Sunnah's elder brother, Abdul Ghani had five sons. As of the 3rd of Dhul Hijjah 1446, in accordance to the 30th May 2025, at the time of writing, all sons are alive except for one, Haji Idris. The banana peel and brothers passing. Abdul Ghani worked in the broom business. Initially, grass for brooms used to come from Bangladesh, but then its supply stopped or became expensive. So his brother would go to Banu, a city in the Khyber Pakhtunkhwa province of Pakistan, to obtain similar grass or brooms. He would book the goods from there, and then they would arrive in Karachi by truck. During one such business trip, as he was returning to Karachi, he stopped at Hyderabad station to drink water. He had just drunk water when the train's horn sounded. The water vessel fell from his hand. He placed it on top and ran to board the train. But his foot slipped on a banana peel lying on the path, and he fell under the train. Alas, the train crushed Amir Ahlus-Sunnah's elder brother, and this journey proved to be his last. His sorrowful death occurred on the 15th of Muharram, 1396 Hijri. May Allah Almighty grant the late Abdul Ghani forgiveness without accountability. Use me. Dear Islamic brothers, there is a great lesson for us in this incident. Public roads, bus stations, etc. usually have dustbins clearly marked with "please use me." However, those who have little or no concern for cleanliness often throw rubbish wherever they eat. When waste from homes and commercial places is not disposed of properly, it causes land pollution, and at times carelessly discarded waste can lead to injuries or loss of life and property, as learned from the incident of Amir Ahlus Sunnah's brother's demise. O devotees of the Prophet, if you ever see something on the road that could cause inconvenience to passers-by, pause for a moment and with a good intention, remove it to earn the reward of charity. In a blessed hadith from Sahih Muslim, it is stated, removing a harmful thing from the path is charity. Islam encourages us to maintain cleanliness, whether at home, outdoors, in the office, a shop, or the market. Take care of cleanliness everywhere. Removing a harmful object from the path. Allah Almighty said to Prophet Musa alayhi salam, O Musa, if you wish that I mention your virtue before the angels in the heavens and on the paths of the world, then remove harmful things, i.e. stones, thorns, etc., from the paths of the believers. Three statements of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam regarding removing a harmful object from the path. Number one, whoever removes a harmful thing from the path of Muslims, a good deed will be written for him, and for whomsoever Allah Almighty records a good deed, he will admit him into paradise because of that good deed. Number two, a person had never done any good deed except that he removed a thorny branch from the path, so Allah Almighty accepted his action and admitted him into paradise. Number three, Sayyiduna Abu Barza radiyallahu anhu asked the Messenger of Allah, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, teach me something from which I can benefit. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam replied, keep removing harmful things from the paths of the Muslims. Mufti Abdul Mustafa Al-Azami rahmatullahi alayhi writes in the explanation of this blessed hadith, it is a very easy task to remove anything harmful, which poses a risk of harm to pedestrians, such as a thorn, glass, or other obstacle from the path. However, this act is so pleasing to Allah Almighty that out of His grace and generosity, He grants one paradise in return. Today's Muslims are completely heedless of the greatness of this righteous deed and its reward. In fact, they sometimes throw harmful things onto the paths. For example, people commonly eat bananas and throw their peels on railway platforms. When a train arrives, passengers rush in a hurry to board the train, slip on banana peels and fall. Some are severely injured. Similarly, people commonly throw bones and glass pieces onto paths. Muslims should avoid such actions. Rather, if any harmful thing is seen on the path, it should be removed. Insha'Allah, if this deed is accepted, paradise will be granted in return. And Allah Almighty knows best. The man with golden calves. The esteemed Tabi Imam Muhammad bin Sirin rahmatullahi alayhi related, I saw a man with golden calves in a dream and asked him, "How did Allah Almighty deal with you?" He replied, "Allah Almighty forgave me and admitted me into paradise, and He transformed my calves into gold, through which I wander wherever I wish in paradise." I asked, "Due to which deed was such a reward and honor granted?" He replied, "I used to remove harmful things from the path." Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sad news. Amir Ahlus Sunnah, Damat Barakatul Aliya, describing the experience of hearing the news of his brother's demise, states, "It was the days of Muharram. At the time, I had just arrived home from somewhere after eating and had placed the teapot on the stove when there was a knock at the door. I went outside and saw a plain-clothed policeman who read out the shocking news of my brother's demise from a paper he had. 'Your brother, Abdul Ghani bin Abdul Rahman, has passed away in a train accident in Hyderabad.' I somehow composed myself and, controlling my emotions, informed my sisters. At that time, my late mother was not at home. When she came home and received the news of her young son's demise, an atmosphere of grief spread throughout the house. Method of announcing a death. Dear Islamic brothers, this was the first time in Amir Ahlus Sunnah's life that a demise occurred in his home, and he informed everyone with great wisdom. When a close relative passes away at home, the elderly family members and other relatives should be informed with great wisdom. Otherwise, it has sometimes happened that elderly or ill parents suffered a heart attack upon hearing the news of the demise of a young son or daughter. Unable to bear the shock, they also passed away from this world, fainted or became afflicted with an illness. Therefore, informing about the demise of an important family member at home is an extremely sensitive task, especially when there are elderly individuals and children in the house. If such a situation ever arises, first control your emotions and choose words that are not untrue and cause minimal distress or shock to those who need to be informed. Inform them gently with prayers, in a manner that the news does not cause a shock or a jolt to the recipient. Particularly for elderly individuals, instead of detailing the circumstances of an accident or death, simply state briefly and in easy words, 'By Allah Almighty's command, so and so has passed away. May Allah Almighty grant him forgiveness without accountability and grant us patience.' for children at home, use an appropriate manner to inform them about the demise, according to their psychology. For example, your uncle, grandfather, maternal uncle, etc. has passed away. Pray to Allah Almighty to grant him forgiveness without account. It is also possible that instead of informing all family members at once, serious and adult individuals are informed one by one. News of a demise in the home, especially to elderly individuals, should be given at a time when they are in a calm environment. Informing them at bedtime or mealtime might cause them to stop eating and drinking, become ill with grief, or not sleep, and take the effect of the shock to their heart from crying, which could then lead to a severe reaction in their physical organs. If, after informing them, you feel that the elderly individuals or children are greatly aggrieved by the deceased's passing, spend more time with them, console them, and mention the virtues of patience. Journey to Hyderabad to receive the body. Amir Ahlus Sunnah Damad Barakatum Al-Aliyah spoke to his neighbour Haji Abdul Sattar late about going to Hyderabad to bring the body. He fulfilled his right as a good neighbour and agreed to accompany him. Then Amir Ahlus Sunnah Damad Barakatum Al-Aliyah departed for Hyderabad overnight in a vehicle belonging to a welfare organisation to retrieve his brother's body. This grief was not small for the family members. Amir Ahlus Sunnah's heart was filled with sorrow. The welfare worker used to utter some un-Islamic phrases. Amir Ahlus Sunnah, Damad Barakatum Al-Aliyah, seized this opportunity and with great affection invited him to righteousness, encouraging him to repent from those words and warning him of the torment of the hereafter if he did not repent. On this occasion of grief, the words that came from his tongue acted like an arrow that pierced his heart, and he was fortunate to retract those phrases and repent right there whilst driving the vehicle. O devotees of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, when Allah Almighty intends to take a great deal of religious work from someone in this world, He guides them onto the path of righteousness from the very beginning and helps them. Allah Almighty granted Amir Ahlus Sunnah Damad Barakatumul Aliyah the ability to avoid evil people and evil deeds from childhood. Alhamdulillah, now the world sees that millions of people have received guidance through him. Even whilst going to receive his brother's body, he did not abandon this great duty of inviting to righteousness and encourage the worker to repent by frightening him with the torment of the grave and the hereafter. And by virtue of his impactful words, he was granted the ability to repent. May we also be granted an unending passion to invite people to righteousness by virtue of this noble caller to righteousness. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad. Visit to the blessed shrine of Shaykh Abdul Wahhab Shah al-Jilani rahmatullahi alayh. This was the first time Amir Ahlus Sunnah Damad Barakatum Al-Aliyah travelled outside Karachi to another city. He had anticipated that he might have to stay overnight, so he departed from Karachi with preparations for an overnight stay. He had heard about the famous saint, Shaykh Abdul Wahhab Shah Jilani rahmatullahi alayh in Hyderabad. After speaking to the worker for the welfare organisation, he first visited the blessed shrine and then proceeded to the police station to receive the body. The honesty of the police officers. The police officer's demeanour was very sympathetic. After completing the necessary brief legal formalities, they handed over the body and all the deceased's belongings found in his pocket, including cash and a watch, to Amir Ahlus Sunnah Damat Barakatul Aliya, stating, "We sympathize with you. You people are grieved, and we will not take much of your time." Witnessing this display of good conduct, Amir Ahlus Sunnah Damat Barakatul Aliya was impressed by the police officers. There was no need to stay overnight in Hyderabad, so he returned to Karachi the same night. Ritual bathing of the deceased and funeral prayer. As the deceased's limbs were severe due to the accident that led to his martyrdom, arrangements for shrouding and ritual bathing were made at the office of the same welfare organization in Meetha Dar, instead of bringing the body home. Amir Ahlus Sunnah Damat Barakatul Aliya used to lead prayers at Shaheed Masjid Kharadar in those days. He led his brother's funeral prayer outside the masjid there, and the burial took place in Mewa Shah graveyard. O devotees of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, a person who passes away due to a road accident falls under the ruling of a martyr, Hukmi Shaheed. Such a person receives the reward of martyrdom. Impressions of a close friend. Haji Tawfiq Engineer, a very close friend of Amir Ahlus Sunnah Damat Barakatul Aliya at that time, and their neighbour Bachu Bhai, told me, Muhammad Tahir Afi Anhu, that at the time of Amir Ahlus Sunnah's brother's demise, a mountain of grief weighed upon his heart. It is difficult to describe that state in words, but his patience and steadfastness are commendable, as he controlled himself in such difficult circumstances and with patience and perseverance managed his religious commitments and continued to manage the household affairs well, including their financial needs. After the third day, Soym or Tija, Amir Ahlus Sunnah Damat Barakatul Aliya states, "After the Soym, I the third day gathering for conveying reward, when everyone had left one by one and it was night, I was sitting alone on the mat. At that moment, I intensely felt the absence of my elder brother. I sat there crying inconsolably. At that time, there was no one to console me or alleviate my grief." Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Division of the brother's inheritance. Amir Ahlus Sunnah Damat Barakatul Aliya is extremely cautious in religious matters. After his respected father's demise in childhood, the household inheritance was not divided. They continued to live together and manage the household with this. When his elder brother passed away, there was a severe trial in dividing the inheritance, because now, besides the siblings, the five orphan children of the elder brother and his widow also had a share in the inheritance. Amir Ahlus Sunnah Damat Barakatul Aliya set a magnificent and exemplary example of adhering to the Sharia in dividing his late father's inheritance. He sought guidance from Mawlana Mufti Waqar al-Din Rahmatullahi Alayh and divided the inheritance according to Sharia requirements. Furthermore, he gave extra to his late brother's orphan children and widow so that no right of theirs would remain upon him. Not only that, his fear of Allah Almighty was so profound that, in order to remove any doubt regarding the fulfillment of their rights and to attain peace of mind, he sought forgiveness from all his nephews once they reached adulthood, saying, "If I made any mistake in the division, please forgive me," and also had his mother seek their forgiveness. Divide the inherited wealth. After a person's demise, the wealth he leaves behind is called mirath or virathat, i.e. inheritance. In the noble Quran and blessed Ahadith, matters of inheritance have been explained in great detail. If the deceased leaves behind orphan children, specific rulings regarding their inheritance and strict emphasis on avoiding all forms of dishonesty with their wealth have been given, as stated in Surah An-Nisa, verse number 10. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. إن الذين يأكلون أموال اليتامى ظلما إنما يأكلون في بطونهم نارا وسيصلون سعيرا. Indeed, those who consume the wealth of orphans in oppression, they only fill their stomachs with fire, and soon they will enter a blazing fire. In a blessed hadith, the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam stated, I saw a group of people on the night of Mi'raj whose lips were like those of camels, and people were appointed over them who would hold their lips and then throw stones of fire into their mouths, which would exit from their backs. I asked, O Jibra'il alayhi salam, who are these people? He replied, these are the people who would unjustly consume the wealth of orphans. Dear Islamic brothers, if you are the head of the household and a family member passes away, first contact Darul Ifta Ahli Sunnah or arrange a meeting with a Mufti Sahib to seek guidance on how to divide the inheritance according to Sharia. Darul Ifta Ahli Sunnah Dawati Islami contact number 03-11-786-4100. Contact hours 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. except Sundays. Break for prayer and lunch 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. Dear Islamic brothers, great caution is needed in matters of inheritance. Otherwise, in the future, when children grow up, disputes over property often escalate to murder and bloodshed. For detailed information about inheritance, please read Maktabatul Madina's booklet, Don't Be Deceitful About Inheritance. Insha'Allah, you will learn about very important religious issues. This booklet can also be downloaded for free from Dawati Islami's website, www.dawatiislami.net. If possible, this booklet should be read aloud at the time of a demise, the third day gathering, i.e. Tija, or the 40th day gathering, i.e. Chaliswa, so that attendees can gain the treasure of knowledge. May Allah Almighty grant us the ability to avoid carelessness regarding inherited wealth. Ameen. Bijahi Khatamin Nabiyeen Sallallahu Alaihi Wa Alihi Wasallam. Sallu ala al-Habib Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Gathering at the elder brother's grave. Amir Ahlus Sunnah Damat Barakatumul Aliyah states, after the passing of my late brother, I felt something major missing. On one hand, the grief of my father's absence, and on the other, a state of tenderness and emotional sensitivity, i.e. heartfelt softness and inclination to weep within me. I often used to visit my brother's grave and would take my friends with me. At that time, Dawat-e-Islami had not been established. We would hold gatherings of prophetic odes in the graveyard, and then I would deliver a speech there every Saturday. Many times, remembering our own death and grave, we would weep profusely. Alhamdulillah, my company was good. We were accompanied by regular worshippers and one or two bearded individuals. Whoever joined us would grow a beard, a blessed sunnah of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. May Allah Almighty grant forgiveness without account and mercy to Amir Ahlus Sunnah's parents, brother, sisters and other deceased family members. Ameen. Bijahi Khatamin Nabiyeen sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The blessing of conveying reward, i.e. ithali thawab. Amir Ahlus Sunnah Damat Barakatumul Aliyah, expressing the favour of Allah Almighty upon him, states, after my elder brother's demise, when the auspicious month of Ramadan arrived and the first blessed Monday came, My elder sister asked me a few unexpected questions in the afternoon. The first question was, "Did you go to the graveyard yesterday?" I replied, "Yes." Then she asked, "Do you visit our late brother's grave?" "Sometimes, twice, and sometimes thrice a week." I was slightly surprised and said yes. My surprise was because my sister only knew about my Sunday evening visit to the graveyard and during the blessed month of Ramadan, due to my presence at home after Maghrib prayer on Sundays, she might have thought that I had not gone to the graveyard. Dispelling my astonishment, my sister said, "No matter how much you try to hide it from me, our late brother has told me about everything in a dream. When you visit the graveyard, and also that you perform prophetic ode recitals there with friends, my brother told me in the dream about the conditions of his grave, saying, 'When I was placed in the grave, a small creature rushed towards me. I forcefully shook my foot to repel it. As soon as that creature moved away, a terrifying torment began to advance towards me. It was about to overwhelm me when the conveyed reward, i.e. the Ithali Thawab from Brother Ilyas, came and became a barrier between me and the torment. When the torment advanced from another direction, Ilyas Brother's conveyed reward again became a shield there. Similarly, the torment advanced from all sides, but each time the conveyed reward came in between, and finally, finding all paths blocked, the torment moved away from me. All praise to Allah Almighty, that my brother Ilyas proved useful to me after death." Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad. The elder brother narrated an incident. Amir Ahl-Sunnah, the Ahmad Barakatul Aliyah, states that his elder brother used to narrate an incident about a leader who possessed a very sensitive nature. He would keep a servant with him to converse with drivers of horse-drawn carriages and to pay them, as he himself disliked talking to them or even listening to them. This was because such people commonly use rough language with rude exclamations, and he did not want their words to imprint on his mind or for such language or mannerisms to affect him. An Arabic poet has said, عَدْوَ الْبَلِيدِ إِلَى الْجَلِيدِ سَرِيعَةً كَالْجَمْرِ يُوْدَعُ فِي الرَّمَادِ فَيَخْمِدُ, meaning, the bad habits of a dull-witted person quickly affect the intelligence of a brilliant and discerning person. Like a burning ember placed in ashes, it extinguishes. Dear Islamic brothers, what one hears repeatedly, one often speaks. If we listen to good things, then inshallah, we will speak good things. Not every rickshaw and bus driver uses uncivilized language, but it does happen. And sometimes conversations even include cursing and abusive language. We should protect ourselves and our children from such environments so that such bad habits do not develop in us or our children. If we ever encounter such people or have to pass through or travel in such a place, instead of listening to such conversations, we should turn our hearts and thoughts toward good things, or immerse ourselves in the remembrance of Medina, or start listening to praises of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. This booklet, which began with a reformative incident narrated by Amir Ahlus Sunnah's elder brother, concludes with another reformative incident also narrated by his elder brother. May Allah Almighty forgive any errors and shortcomings and grant forgiveness without account to me, my parents and my family. Ameen. Bi jahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib صلى الله على محمد. Dates of passing of deceased family members of Amir Ahlus Sunnah Damat Barakatumul Aliya. Amir Ahlus Sunnah's esteemed father Haji Abdul Rahman. Date of passing 14th Dhul Hijjah Dhul Haram 1370 Hijri. Esteemed mother Amina Bibi. Date of passing 17th Safar al-Muzaffar 1398 Hijri. Elder brother Abdul Ghani. Date of passing 15th Muharram 1396 Hijri. Elder brother Abdul Aziz. No date for this has been recorded. Elder sister Fatima binti Haji Abdul Rahman, known as Foima. 26th Dhul Hijjah Dhul Haram 1439 Hijri, corresponding to 7th September 2018. Elder sister Zahra binti Haji Abdul Rahman. 2nd Jumad al Akhirah 1441 Hijri, corresponding to the 28th of January 2020. Elder sister Khatija binti Haji Abdul Rahman. No exact date has been mentioned. Elder sister Zainab binti Haji Abdul Rahman. No date has been mentioned. The blessing of being a disciple and seeker in the Qadiriyya order. The crown of the saints, Shaykh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahmatullahi alayhi states, Allah Almighty has promised me that He will admit my disciples into paradise. Alhamdulillah, Amir Ahlus Sunnah, Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri Aradhavi Damat Barakatumul Aliya is a very great scholarly and spiritual personality of this era. Through his blessings, thousands of non-Muslims have embraced Islam and millions of Muslims' lives have changed and they have embarked upon the path of the Sunnah. My sincere advice to you is that you too should become a disciple of Shaykh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahmatullahi alayhi through Amir Ahlus Sunnah Damat Barakatumul Aliya. If you are already a disciple of a qualified spiritual guide, then become a seeker, i.e. a talib, to gain the blessings of spiritual allegiance. InshaAllah, you will attain many blessings in this world and the hereafter from this. Even a one-day-old child at home can be initiated into a spiritual path with the guardian's permission. Islamic sisters do not need their husband's permission to take spiritual allegiance. Allegiance can also be performed during menstrual periods. Become a disciple via WhatsApp. For becoming a disciple yourself or having someone else become a disciple, send their name along with their father's name and age via WhatsApp to +92 32 126 26 112. Calls are not received on this number. Please send these details only in text form. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.